Welcome to another Summer Chapel today, and our speaker is Dr. Barbara Newman. Barbara Newman holds the Doctor of Ministry degree from Dallas Theological Seminary and currently serves as adjunct professor in the Educational Ministries and Leadership Department. She is also leading a project to train women in the Middle East to be leaders in their churches. Her additional activities include mentoring young leaders, a mentoring consultant, speaker, and gardener. She is co-author of Organic Mentoring, A Mentor's Guide to Relationships with Next Generation Women. Barbara is married to Ralph, mother of three, and grandmother of 11 perfect grandchildren.
Hello, students and colleagues, and thanks for tuning into chapel. My message today comes from my unexpected ministry with people in pain. I'm currently leading a project to strengthen existing churches in the Middle East by equipping selected women to lead a ministry in her church. Most of the women in our project are Syrian. And when I say Syrian, I bet you think refugee. Well, these women are not refugees. They live in Syria and they attend churches in Syria. And 10 years ago, their lives were normal. What happened that they are now people in pain? We have to go back to 2011, to the Arab Spring, and to the rise of ISIS. These people have endured 9 years of a horribly traumatic war that has destroyed hundreds of thousands of lives, hundreds of buildings, and many churches. Everybody has a family member or a friend that has died as a result of the war. Their economy has collapsed. Basic necessities often are unavailable, and 80% of the population now lives in poverty. Because ISIS targeted churches, many pastors and elders fled. This left a lot of churches without mature spiritual leadership. But I can't blame them, because they fled to protect the lives of their wife and children. But as a result, along with 6 million other Syrians, these pastors and elders are now living painful lives as refugees. So whether people choose to stay in Syria or flee the country, all of them are living lives that are hard day after day, and that is not likely to change anytime soon. Some of you are ministering globally, or you will minister globally in the future, to people whose lives are hard day after day, and that probably won't change in their lifetime. Well, what does the Bible have to say about ministry in situations like this? So my message comes from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 9 and verse 11. You're probably familiar with the situation in Corinth. People were living according to the corrupt culture far more than they were living according to the Word of God. And this was creating serious problems like heated arguments and factions, rampant sexual immorality. There were outright challenges to Paul's authority and his teaching, and some really unkind things being said about him. They were suing each other. There were unsaved people in the church. The false apostles were drawing a crowd, and wine reserved for communion was being used to get drunk, and there was chaos in their worship gatherings. A few years ago, I heard Dr. Barry Jones say, "God is on a mission to rescue and restore his broken creation." Rescue from what? Well, of course, rescue from sin's penalty of eternal death. Why restoration? Restoration means to set something right or to repair what's broken. And I think this one simple sentence summarizes the message of the entire Bible. God is on a mission to rescue and restore his broken creation. Now, the Corinthian letters, in those letters, Paul acknowledges that the people have been rescued through their faith in Jesus' death and resurrection. So the rescue mission has been successful. But God's mission in this church is far from over. There is now an urgent need for restoration of broken lives. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but in addition to everything else that is going on in the Middle East right now, God has a revival underway. The 1040 window is famous for being the area of the world most resistant to the gospel. But God is on the move, and people are coming to faith in Jesus in large numbers. They are coming to faith in amazing ways. Their stories are just incredible. The fastest growing church in the Middle East right now is in Iran. So God's rescue mission is underway. But now there's also an urgent need for the restoration of broken lives. Last year, when I was in Beirut working with the women that we've been training, I gathered the young leaders and I asked them to tell me what the young women in their culture struggled with the most. One of them answered immediately. She didn't even need to think about it. And she said, they want to know, why is there so much pain? Good question, especially when life hurts. We know the answer to that. The Bible tells us the answer. There's so much pain because the world is in the grip of the serpent. He's on a mission too. And his mission is to methodically destroy everything that God created. And so he works out his destructive purposes in the world. And sometimes it doesn't have anything to do with us, but we get caught up in the pain of that. And there's so much pain because people are in the grip of the serpent. They choose to live apart from God. They ignore his instructions. They do things that hurt other people. There's so much pain because we live in a broken world full of broken people. So when I was talking to these young leaders, they not only wanted to know why is there so much pain, but what? What can we do in the midst of so much pain? They felt hopeless because they knew very well that there was nothing they could do to keep people's lives from being hard. If you minister globally, there may be times that you feel the same way. You may be overwhelmed by the difficulty of people's lives day after day and the fact that they probably won't change in their lifetime. And you may wonder, what can I really do in the midst of all of this? Or maybe you minister locally and you work with people whose lives are hard day after day, and that probably won't change in their lifetime either. Maybe there are times you feel like you just can't do enough or you don't know what to do. Well, what can we do in the midst of so much pain? Well, I think a better question to ask is, what is God doing in the midst of so much pain? And I can tell you the answer to that too. God rolls up his sleeves and he gets to work rescuing and restoring broken lives. That being the case, I want to look a little more closely at restoration, or the process of repairing what's broken. What exactly is it that needs to be restored? It's my opinion that it's the image of God in people that needs to be restored. It doesn't matter how hard their situation is, how difficult their situation, or how hard their life is. When they live in the image of God, their life will get better. Let me give you an example. When people come to Jesus, they begin a new life where pain can be healed. They can be restored emotionally. And when this happens, they begin to think more like Jesus. And this makes their life better. They begin a new life where God uses pain to strengthen them spiritually. They begin to look more like Jesus. And when this happens, their life gets better. And they begin a new life where they can help other people in pain. And they do what Jesus does, and they participate in his mission to restore lives. And when this happens, their life gets better. And I told the young leaders that they would only get rid of their hopeless feeling by rolling up their sleeves and jumping on board God's mission to rescue and restore his broken creation. So, what does this have to do with you? Well, as a person involved in ministry, you should know that you can't keep people's lives from being hard, but you can be a part of God's restoring work that makes their life better. I've been either a student or a professor at DTS for almost 20 years now. And I've observed that seminary at DTS often makes students' lives hard, sometimes really hard. You're busy studying right now, and I'm guessing that there's some hard things that you're trying to do. One of them is that you're probably trying to read a hard textbook. I can remember holding a textbook in one hand and a dictionary in the other because I was reading words I'd never seen before. I had no idea what they meant. And I'd look them up in the dictionary before I could even understand what the book was trying to say. It was hard. You're probably having to do some hard assignments. You know, you have to listen, you have to understand, and then you have to integrate what the professor is saying with what the Bible says, and then you have to write all this down on paper in a way that makes sense, and that's hard. Some of you are learning two new languages. Hebrew is hard. Greek is hard. Or maybe you're not getting enough sleep. Maybe there's not enough money. Maybe you're feeling pressure from your ministry responsibilities or from the needs of your family, in addition to everything you're trying to do at seminary. And it makes life hard. So don't forget that God is also on a mission to restore his image in you. In the end, ministry is all about what God is doing first in you. So can you look back over the weeks, the months, or maybe even the years and see how God's image is being restored in you in the midst of hard days? Are you beginning to think more like Jesus? Are you beginning to look more like Jesus? And can you see that this is improving your life? And this is very important, because the more God's image is restored in you, the more you will understand its power to improve people's lives regardless of their situation. So I'm going to conclude my message the same way Paul concluded his second letter to the Corinthians, verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, aim for restoration. Would you please pray with me? Most Holy Father, I praise you because you are perfect and your mission in this world is perfect. And I ask you to work in each one of us here at DTS and help us to yield to your restoring work in us. Would you enable each one of us to see how living in your image improves our life? And we ask this in the name of our living Savior, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.